So Lauren asked a question last week about the issue of the role, this is a big broad question, the role of emotion and motions in Judaism. Pretty broad. So I don't know if I can, we can address this question all in just one session. So we'll start today and we'll see where it goes. So let me start off with a situation. Scene one. Your best friend is getting married. Okay, model stuff, exactly. And you are, and you're at the wedding, and the bride and groom's come out, talking first dance, and then the couple, then, you know, they lift them up and they bring them together, now they're on one side, and people are dancing before them. What do you do? And what do you do, and how do you feel? So let's start with Dave.
So you go out there and you dance them. Don't have to.
Are you, do you have something special there? I mean, you know, what are you, describe the scene if we're watching you. And, so you're gonna bust out, go in the middle there?
Yeah.
And you got something special for them?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we juggling here? I mean,
just like screaming in the guy's ear.
Screaming in the guy's ear, that's creative, okay.
He's actually done like, you know, like the Russian move, and you're like, oh, right.
I've never done that, though.
Right.
It's really hard, I've tried.
So you're out there. You're out there. Is there any resistance, or are you, you're...
You mean like psychological resistance, like emotional resistance?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
It was like jealousy, pissed off, you know, like I want to be the center of attention.
So maybe that's why you do want to dance in the middle,
right? You want to steal.
So what's that? So hold on, we'll get your turn there, Sam. So what are you feeling there? So
envious? Are you trying to say we're feeling envious?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying I'm asking what he feels.
Oh well, man, I don't know if it's my place to, you know, just jump right out in the middle. If there, you know, other people, you know, more, you know, ego driven people are going to try to, you know, want their stuff. You know, try to say, like, I'm a big guy, you know, I'm close friends with him, I'm going to dance in a circle with him.
Do you feel, you feel like a responsibility?
Yeah.
On your mental checklist of the night, ensure you dance in the middle in front of Chassan Kala.
I think it depends how close you are with them.
Right, I said best friend. That's why I start off with the best friend. Best.
You got to represent.
All right, so it's really, now let's say you're not, just not in the mood. Yeah, have you gone to a wedding, you're just, like, not in the mood for a wedding? Has it ever happened?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why there's alcohol. So, so what happens? So you're waiting, and you're on the edge there. Everybody's pushing each other. When are you going in there? Going first?
No, there's a lull over there.
When you see the lull in the action, you'll jump in there.
Right after a media family, you're in there like a cheetah on a wildebeest.
All right. And how are you feeling when you're doing that? What are the feelings there?
I mean, like, you know, I mean, I don't really like enjoy, like, you know.
Do you enjoy or don't enjoy it?
I don't.
What's wrong with him? We're moving around.
I don't really enjoy like.
You don't like dancing.
I don't really.
All right, so this for you is just a painful obligation that you must discharge, or else your friendship will be in jeopardy.
Yeah.
But are you looking like you're having fun?
Trying.
You're trying. So you're gonna do 30 seconds of trying out there, and then you're gonna, you know, swing back to the side.
Yeah.
That's your move. And you don't feel any. There's no joy in the whole thing. It's a joyless experience. I'm
asking. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
I ask an honest question. It gives me an honest answer.
Why damn?
Okay, fine. So that's it. You go, you do your thing. And if a person's a second tier friend?
It's even more painful.
Are you going out there at all?
Yeah, you know, maybe, like in a group.
You're in the second tier circle.
Right, so when there's only the guys doing the dancing, will you grab his hands and dance in the middle among the guys, or are you just going to be...
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, but, you know, deeper into the later into the scene.
Yeah.
Again, it's discharging an obligation.
Yeah.
That's much like showing up.
right. So that's okay. So you're not into the whole Simcha scene.
I guess not.
All right, we're going to move to Lauren. All
right, you're. I like it.
All right, good. So Lauren, your best friend is getting married. Okay. All right, and you dancing? Well, I guess girls don't. I mean, it depends on the crowd. Girls don't tend, not always, to feel comfortable to dance in the middle in front of the guy and the girl during that scene. But on her side, are you going to be one of the first ones who are going to grab her hand and after mom has unclenched her claw from your best friend, you're going to get in there?
Correct.
And you liking it?
Yeah.
So she's usually the one on top of the mosh pit.
Right.
There are no mosh pits in the women's side, though. It's only in the men.
Oh, yeah. Right. My brother crowds her.
Right. Well, yeah, guys are not there.
Yeah. Really?
So, So you're enjoying it. Are you looking forward to it?
Uh-huh.
Many days in advance, you're looking forward to dancing with your best friend at her wedding. That's a big moment.
Yeah, like in my high school yearbook, my friends all wrote it to each other. Can't wait to dance and do it at your wedding. All
right, that's a big moment there.
Uh-huh.
And if it's a person's a second tier friend, you still enjoy it? So you enjoy this?
I like to dance.
You like to dance?
You used to.
And you like to dance?
A job.
Yeah.
Simcha dancer.
You're a Simcha dancer? Which band?
I did like a couple of different
right.
DJ companies.
The
Zamra?
Yeah, sure.
Girl
DJ, Jewish DJ.
Sure. Used to be
in
the business. Oh, right. Yeah. So, you look forward to any Simcha, right, frankly, quite frankly. It's an opportunity for you to dance.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like literally the opposite of your brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's an opportunity. So it's enjoyment there. Now, the fact that it's a mitzvah to dance versus not a mitzvah, it doesn't affect the needle at all, more versus less. It's the enjoyment of sheer dancing.
Uh-huh.
Enjoying, just getting down to the music. Okay.
But the emotion, like there are emotions, I think, when it's like a best friend's wedding or something, like you feel more connected to the person, so you want to dance.
Why do you want to dance?
You want to express your happiness to your friends. If you're just sitting there, like, smiling, you know, it's all nice. But
you want to show them that you're happy for them.
Yeah, you want to partake in their simcha.
Yeah.
So the dancing is the measurement of your validating and expressing how joyous this event really is.
Uh-huh.
And if you wouldn't... It's a non-verbal diss of them.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
If you're sitting there, if you're in the outer circle with standing stationary with a plastic smile, looking at everybody, it says like
your social obligation to be in there.
No, right. but you're making yourself a social outcast, and you make yourself look like you're envious or even jealous of the person you just.
Well, you can be Yotze with the girls, the women who are doing like these, the very lame outer circle. Low motion dance. You know, I mean, there's like many circles, many strata. You have the core, super into it. I'm excited to be here.
It's like the bullseye, and then it just goes over.
Right, and then you have the people like, all right, I am. My husband is friend with a chassan. It's the lowest, and I'm going. I could not. Other than the fact that she's wearing white, I wouldn't be able to identify the kala. She landed on me. Therefore, I'm like Yotze, just to add.
And there are always people who, like, they're just, you know them, they have, like, a, they, you know, you profile them as, like, people who are, like, a little too excited, you know, because, you know, for the person, like, the two, they're always in there, they're always dancing, they're always, mm-hmm. they're always, like, you don't want to fall into that category either, you know?
Well, I don't know about, you know, I think
I don't worry about that about my brother, but, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are always people like that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what do you
they're getting too worked up, like, settle down, buddy, you know, settle down.
Take a seat.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
But the guy's not his best friend, but like he's always, you know, that's crazy. Like it's not in proportion to what he's doing.
Right. So you're very sensitive to the fact that you're arguing with your sister. That for you, what you're saying is that the dancing is a pure
extreme. You can't go to the extreme.
It's a pure expression of your social relationship to the person.
No, it's not.
So if you're saying a third tier friend, you can't be there and you hop in before the first tier friends. It's a chutzpah.
Yeah, it is.
It's a violation.
It's like a certain protocol.
Or the protocol. And even to dance with the chutzpah directly, even at all,
right.
is a chutzpah. So that's what you're talking about. talking about those are the socially awkward people who just like
slap in the face. Like, what are you doing?
Wait, who do you think you are? Right, you've been carted. You're not even in the universe of a friend to be dancing at this point in the sin club. Yeah, we're getting the back. So how do you feel when your best friend, if your best friend's getting married?
He is getting married.
For, do you share, Lord? Are you looking forward to dancing with your friend?
Am I looking forward? Yeah. Absolutely not. No. I'm not like the dancing type. I don't, you know.
Are you on Dave's level of anti-danceology?
I'm not like anti-danceology. You know, like I enjoy throw my weight around in these mosh pits, you know, like decking people.
Right. So, right.
I mean, I enjoy that aspect, but like, yeah, it's like
the fighting aspect of dancing.
There was actually an incident at a wedding that I was at with one of my dad's friends. You know, the guy's like, you know, yeah, I got like shoved. The guy like shoved me. You know, so like, and he starts laughing. So the next time he came around, you know, and I just absolutely like dropped the guy. I just drilled him. You know, and it's like it's an enjoyable thing.
Big guy,
like, yeah, he's
right,
a big
so that
guy. Big guy too. It was like it was a very exciting wedding for me.
Right, so for you, you
not as much as I enjoyed that.
But the actual dancing thing, no, it doesn't do anything for me. I don't feel the connection. Could just be because I don't have dance moves like Lauren does. I'm not like a dancer, you know.
So fear is also pure dispensing of social obligations.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, it's horrible.
You go in there, you dance, you might go in the
get
center,
in, get
you
out,
get in, you do your thing, and get out.
Yeah.
You
it's a little
warm
there.
I didn't
okay, Sharon also is with the Lauren camp.
If I can dance, man.
Right, see.
From mother to daughter,
right.
And from father to son, because he doesn't enjoy it. They don't. I don't know.
I'm with the
boys. Oh, you'll get your
turn. I like the aggressive aspect of the
right, the pushing and shoving out
and shoving, and I'm in there for that. Other than that, you won't catch me on the camera.
Right.
Yeah, you're up.
Dang it.
Spotted away.
Okay, but the thing is, it's true. People aren't comfortable dancing. It doesn't mean, you know, there was a way that they when it comes to shtick, like maybe then they'll like start participating because then they weren't going to ask and nobody could see them.
Okay. Do you enjoy dancing?
Yes, I do.
And if your best friend's getting married, you looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah.
And will you be there like after her mom checks out, you're like, ching, in there?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a very disparate situation here.
Why, though? You didn't ask for the why.
Why?
Why
are you in there right after?
Yeah, why do you... What's the enjoyment, as best you can express it?
Because... I think, especially in Judaism, I think dancing is a big way of expressing yourself, especially with, like, simple dancing.
Right, it's
and, no, so I just think that it's...
So you're doing it for the mitzvah?
Not only the mitzvah. I wasn't even sure that there was, like, I didn't, like, ever compare it to a mitzvah or tie it to a mitzvah. I was just doing it as sheer enjoyment, you know, of dancing and being there for my friend.
Right.
You know what I mean? But are you trying to dig deeper and also besides the emotion of also how you're feeling, besides happiness for your friend, but also if you're hoping for that for yourself, or is that like...
Well, that's a good question.
Maybe trying to get to?
No, I'm not.
No, I'm saying like a question.
Right,
that's a good,
you bring up a good point. I didn't think of that question. Are you, so therefore is the enjoyment of, let's say girls who are in the inner circle, are they very happy? Either way, there seems to be an enjoyment pure of the body motion of dancing, coordinated body motion of dancing, the sheer aesthetic enjoyment of that, A. There's reflecting the, to express in motion the joy they're feeling toward their friend. Mm-hmm. And there's also the enjoyment, you think there's another enjoyment, like they're hoping that this will, they're starting to get into their own fantasy that this is like their own wedding. Or this is like, will be simple, looking forward to that, this will be my own wedding.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, now I have, and also Lauren is starting to have a lot of friends, you know, getting married and
everyone
love a bridal shower on Sunday, the Sunday before that.
Right.
So, I mean, you hope that one day that it will be you in their spot. I mean, it's only natural, especially for girls.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, and also in the circles that we're in, like,
people get married young, and I mean, it's hard if you reach a certain age, which in secular world you're young, but it's you can't even compare.
Right, for sure.
We live in our, we really do live in our own world.
Right, for sure, for sure.
So it is hard for especially those single girls who don't even have anybody, and it's like, you know, when's my Mr. Right coming?
Believe me, as a Ramblin' on the Upper West Side, I am distinctly familiar with the phenomenon. Dealing with women who are in their 30s.
Yeah.
And worse, in their 40s. That's not... Okay, good. So we have a good introduction. Turn, if you can, to Shmuel Bet Perek Vav.
What about those who dance because they want to shock the show off and show, hey, I'm the light of the party?
Well, that's another good factor. No,
I'm the one who always has fun. I'm the one who always...
Right, I got the moves.
Right.
There's
you
the...
are, you're boring. You're boring because you're not dancing, but I'm
right, so it's...
I'm very party.
All right, so that's another thing. There's the enjoyment of the dance of demonstrating superiority to everybody else. I have the cool moves, and you're an uncoordinated loser.
Domination.
All right, so is it the, you know, who's the life of the party, and who's just luggage going around the old...
Which pasuk?
Let's just start from the beginning of the parak.
Okay,
chapter so 6. Shmuel Bet. Would you like to read the English? If whoever gets their spot.
And David continued to gather all the children of Israel, 30,000. David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bali, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called the name of the Lord of hosts, who dwell upon the Cherubim, being upon it. And they set the Ark of God upon a new cart, and they carried it from the house of Abinadab that was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahiah, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought
So right now you have, the scene is early in David's career as being king, and he's bringing the Aron on a new cart up toward Yerushalayim. Okay? That's the scene. Alright? He puts it on a cart. Let's go on.
He brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, with the Ark of God, and Ahio went before the Ark. And David and all the house of Israel made merry with all manner of instruments of cypress wood, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with sistra, and with cymbals.
Okay, so stop. So they're transporting the Aron, the Aron which had the Luchot in it, and they're accompanying it with an entire band. Full-fledged orchestration. Okay? Well, that's not all.
And they came to Gur and Nachlon, and Uzzah put forth his hands to the Ark of God and grasped hold of it, for the oxen swayed it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his error, and there he died by the Ark of God. And David was angered because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called that place Peretz Uzzah unto this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the Ark of the Lord come to me? And David did not want to remove unto him the Ark of the Lord into the city of David, and David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gitti.
Okay, so this is a very strange episode. I don't know if I want to spend too much time on it, because that's really not our focus. But basically, what happened was, the car was on the wagon. It started to slide off the wagon, and this guy Uzzah started to reach out to make sure it won't fall. Oddly enough, you think on the surface he's doing the right thing. He doesn't want the Aron to fall. He gets killed. Okay, so what's up with that? That's a whole real sheer in its own right. I don't know if I want to get. Why don't we table that? We'll put that good question and put it in our pocket, and we'll save that for another time. It really is it's going to take us in a completely different direction. Anyway, so does David decides he's not bringing it up. He parks the Aron at this other guy's house called Beit Oved. All right? And how long does it remain there? Let's go to 11. Go on.
And the Ark of the Lord dwelt in the house of Obed-Edom the Gitti 3 months, and the Lord blessed over at Obed-Edom all of his household. And he was told to King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him. Goes the Ark of the Lord, and David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with joy.
Okay, stop. So now, it was there for 3 months, and then apparently Obed
had unbelievable success. Things were going really good for him financially, his family, everything was going unbelievable. So, good question. Well, but apparently, at that point, David decided that it would be a good time for him to bring the Aron into like the Mishkan area near his in Ir David, which you can, if you go to Israel, you can visit. Okay, and guess what? Tremendous simple. Here we get to the main point. Go on.
And it was when the bearers of the Ark of God had trodden 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. David danced with all his might before the Lord, and David was girded with a linen ephod.
Which is like a sash. Where are you going?
And David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the shofar. And as the Ark of the Lord came into the city...
Well, noted, by the way, this time no wagon. They carried it, which is really the ideal method. The Levium had the job of carrying the Aron. Apparently in the second round, no wagon. That's a hint for why that was a mistake that he made the first time. But go on.
And as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, peered through the window and she saw the King David hopping and dancing before the Lord, and she loathed him in her heart. And they brought the Ark of the Lord and they set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings before the Lord and peace offerings. David finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he distributed it to all the people, to the whole multitude of Israel, both to men and women, to each individual a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a barrel of wine. And all the people departed, everyone to his home. And David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David, and she said, "How honored was today the king of Israel who exposed himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as would expose himself one of the idlers." And David said unto Michal, "Before the Lord, who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me prince over the people of the Lord, over Israel, therefore I have made merry before the Lord. And if I be demeaned more than this, and be abashed in mine own eyes, yet of the maidservants of which you have spoken, with them I will get me honor." And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death.
Okay. So there's a little argument. Michal bar Saul was his wife, one of his wives, one of his 18 wives. So what was the scene? So as they're bringing into the Aron into Ir David, he's dancing. But now what, he's dancing in what kind of manner?
Shouting.
Like is he in a very refined manner, or just all out
hopping and dancing,
like crazy? You know, it'd be like full force. You know, full intensity. Whatever the style of dancing was in that time.
Right.
And he was wearing what?
A loaf.
He was wearing a tunic, and he had a thing. So obviously, he's dancing. So is the part, you know, it went up, so I guess they thought some part of his legs, whatever. It was not him as a kid. It was not normal for you to sing. I'm not saying that he flashed them. You know what I mean? But it was something that you would not see. The king of Israel, yeah, dressed in that manner. So what was Michal, as she's, you know, his wife, as she looked through the window, what was her opinion?
She loathed him.
Okay, so yeah, why she loathed him? Why is she not happy with him?
He's out of control, out of place, out of line.
Okay, so what's her business? What's her problem? What's her criticism? She has a criticism of him, and she's not feeling, you know, she's not feeling reserved to offer that criticism. She does. She criticizes him. What's her criticism of him? She's not happy with him.
He exposed himself to people.
Okay, but what's her problem? Why is her business?
He's the king. Why is he acting like that?
Okay. Why shouldn't he act like that?
Because he's acting like a common man.
Okay, so what's the problem?
He was chosen for more than that.
So she felt that
he should carry himself. Sorry.
Right, that since he's the king of Israel, he must always act in a dignified, respectful, reserved manner. but why didn't you not view that this is an exception? What is the equivalent of our simcha situation? Going back to our beginning part of our conversation, you see this all the time.
The guy getting crazy.
Well, you'll see some guys who will just like do backflips, or they'll act, and you know, let's say, or the other guys who's really trying to make simcha, who's not that very good, you know. But they get an A for effort. They're really trying to do something crazy. And they're sort of losing, they're really demeaning that they're losing their sense of position and status by having such a wild, rambunctious manner in the center or at the wedding. But they just sort of lose themselves. Okay? So David was losing himself in this situation here of dancing before the Aron. Okay? And she didn't like that. She says that it's not befitting a person of your status. What did he? But he countered her. He was very harsh with her. Look at how did he respond back to her?
He was saying that
he's
the chosen king and he wants to rejoice.
He sticks it to her actually.
Chose me over your father.
Yes. So she's Michal Bat Shaul. Shaul was killed. And was dethroned. Hashem chose David while Shaul was still alive. So she's sort of he is sort of sticking it to her. What does he say? He says, "I was chosen before Hashem over your father and over all your household." In other words, it didn't take the natural familiar, nor it didn't go to your brother, the king. Your entire family passed over. And I was chosen to be the prince over the nation of Israel, or the nation of Hashem. And I rejoiced before Hashem. And he says, if I was able to make myself even more low, right? And if I make even more, if I was even more low, and even with all people, I would have been actually honored. Which is the argument against her. He's criticizing her. And he's giving her a little punch also. Because she felt he made a bad mistake. Oh, how honorable is this day? You can actually have to have, if you hear it, you hear it carefully. She's sort of speaking in a very catty kind of way, like, you know, oh, you think you did good? You proud of yourself? King David, very nice. Next time, why don't you take off all your clothes? Okay? I mean, there's sort of a snappy cattiness that is exuding from her critique. She's not decided. I'm curious, you know, as you, the author of Tehillim, obviously you don't normally do this. You may have had a good idea. No, she judged him being mistaken. And she says that you're just exposing yourself. What is she basically? She's going a little bit harsher. Yeah. What's her attack essentially? What are you really? She's saying you're really venting an emotion. What is she really saying about? She's indicting him. It's an indictment that she's passing down. Because another thing, when people have the simcha phenomenon, in other words, who likes to go in the middle? It's really what Sharon was bringing up. Right, there are people, everybody has to varying degrees an exhibitionistic trend. Everybody likes attention. But people like attention in different ways. One method is the exhibitionistic methodology of getting attention, which is...
Certainly gets
attention. Right. Well, it depends on what you're exhibiting, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because you're working with your...
Right, exactly. Exactly. What is on exhibit is the question, right? So part of the people, part of the emotion at Chasna is that any guy who's got a powerful exhibitionistic tendency, this is a mitzvah to cause the bride and groom person to say, hey, it's a free reign for me to show everybody how great I am with my great 70s discos move. Whatever a guy comes trotting out with, you know what I mean?
My dad's written all over that comment.
Right, right. So you know, there's always everybody's got the whatever shtick they have, which really, you know, is expressing some exhibitionistic thing. So she's saying to him, "Oh, how wonderful is today that even the lowest women are checking you out as you're exposing yourself." Exposing, that's not a good word. Or he's trying to show simple before the to show how wonderful the fact is that the city of David is being completed by having Aaron, where the, you know, the Nevuah occurs through for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a tremendous it's where the Kapara is involved in Yom Kippurim. It's really the completion of the entire city. She's not seeing that. She's seeing that you have some exhibitionistic tendencies, which you're using as an excuse to show everybody. And she says, "Who's watching?" Because basically, who she's saying it? Who did you show? She showed women who are going to be not interested, who are going to be looking for the lower element of the community, who are looking at guys essentially. Because who did you do a show for?
Maidservant.
Right. Like the maidservant, in other words, you know, just like basically you're giving your Chippendales. Basically, it's very nice. You gave everybody a little Chippendales review, a little routine, and they were all deeply impressed. Thank you, David HaMelech. That's what she said, and he argued back. You miscategorized this entire thing. It's not about exposing yourself. This is about losing your sense of artificial yourself. It is losing your arrogance, your pride, your dignity before a more awesome and significant presence, which is really the Shekhinah. Or as we said, if I could have made myself even more lower in showing the Simcha, it would have been better. It would have been greater glory. Because he's arguing, this is not a time. To maintain your social dignity here. When it comes to showing the superiority of Hashem, or in this case the Aaron, it's not time to say, there are people. This is equivalent to the people at a wedding who, let's say, you have a very fancy wedding. They won't take the jacket off. They'll dance, and they won't allow themselves to get sweated up, so they have to even take the jacket off. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to dance with the same level of intensity that I'm going to lose any level of coolosity of being the best dressed man or woman. You know what I'm saying? You know, people that they're not gonna sweat.
They're above it.
Oh, excuse me. Please. They won't even unbutton their top tie. They'll be on the way out of circle. They'll be like. The people on the outside who are doing the light, polite clap with a plastic smile.
The golf clap, yeah.
Right, they got the golf clap, right. Right, so they're like, I'm participating, but I'm not removing any element of my fresh, you know, I got my hair product, I have my hair. If it hits sweat, it's going to be all over and not pretty. So, as such, I'm going to not have my dignity and my self-esteem be removed at all. So David is telling this is not a time for that. This is not the place for that. There's no phenomenon of that. So he's expressing absolute simcha and holding nothing back. Nothing back. So in fact, one of the wicked people of Tanakh is Queen Yezebel. All right, and she was Ahab's wife, and she was responsible for bringing idolatry to the whole northern kingdom. I mean, she had tremendous power over him. We discussed her at different times. Chazal, and she was pushed off the castle, and her body was eaten up by dogs. It was like she had a very, very vicious death. But Chazal say one interesting thing. It's a medrash in Nagata, that her hands and feet never decayed. Why? Because she did one mitzvah. She would rejoice between Chasen and Kala. She would always, and she's a queen, and she would go all out. So, I didn't mean literally that her hands did not decay, but it shows that she had a zechus. So don't view Yezebel as being, don't ever paint anybody with a one brush and thought she's all bad. She had no redeeming qualities. The fact that she was able to lose her queenly self and really show the superiority of of the creation of a bias and envious royal showed that she had an excellence. There was an excellence there that was worthy of emulation.
Here's a question.
Good.
Why was David singing and dancing in this particular situation?
Good question. So, would David... The question you have to ask is...
There was no wedding. He wasn't dancing at a wedding.
Good.
So how does this have to do anything with the...
Right.
How is this the equivalent of a person dancing at a wedding? Maybe they are under that emotion of what we said before.
Okay, so the question is, why is he so happy?
Well, I was saying, I can understand, I understand what you were saying about David getting lost in this thing, and he put that aside, the whole thing aside, he was just lost in the moment, and he was dancing, but how can you equate that, what he was doing, with, a wedding?
Okay, well, I'm saying these are both situations where there's a mitzvah involved. With here, he was showing Kavod Hashem by showing the fact that the addition of the Aron, Bris Hashem, to the city of David was really the completion of the entire city. And it was a tremendous thing. Okay? And that's stage one of... That's a pre-Beis HaMikdash 1, which he's not allowed to build, which is his son, Shlomo Melech, will build in a couple of years from that point. So he is seeing the goodness of this moment. Now, the sukkah focuses on who's the main guy here. There's a band and everybody's walking with that, but who's the major dancer?
Hassan.
Well, in this scene, who's in the main scene here? Very important point.
David.
There's the band, but the main guy is David. Because he really is on the level to really appreciate why this is good. You know what I'm saying? Or it's not everybody can appreciate what is the goodness of adding the Aron. I mean, are we just moving furniture? So why a band? Why is he slaughtering all these animals? Why is he giving out dinner of excellence to every member of anybody who's attending? Everybody was given wine, beef, and freshly baked bread. What's the event? What's the simcha here? So he's expressing the unbelievableness of this phenomena, because really he appreciates what's really good here.
Can you just elaborate? So how is it the dancing expressing the happiness here?
It goes back to what Lauren's saying. That's a natural phenomena.
So if you can't express...
When a person has the feeling of happiness, there are going to be numerous symptoms of that. The guy's going to smile. He can't sit. If you're really happy, let's say a person just... Oh, a simple example. Let's go into a trading floor for a moment. Guy does a trade. He buys 50,000 shares of something. I remember vividly the best moment. I'll go back to... I remember this key. I'll tell you what. I had a great trade. Okay, one trade. Okay, so we back in the school we were given IDT stock. It takes 3 days to transfer. You know, T plus three. Hit the account, and then AOL announced that it was buying IDT. It went from 35 to 72 in 2 hours. I sold on the top. I was literally dancing in the office. Because that was unbelievable. It's like, literally, free money day. It was unbelievable. It was just like the Shemayim opened up, and there was just like bags of cash coming tumbling down. I did nothing. I wasn't smart. It was just a sheer bracham and a Shemayim. And I was literally dancing in the office. Because I was running yeshiva, and that amount of money was like, I don't know, I think we just gave $40,000 in 2 hours. And the general rule for all nonprofits, if you get stock in, you sell the same day, because you're not really in the, unless you have an endowment, you're not supposed to be in the trader business. You know what I'm saying? You get it, you sell it. So I put the order in, but it didn't happen. You know what I mean? By the time it hit, you know, whatever the guy, I don't know, whatever, he says, the guy called me, says, they just made an announcement, let's don't sell right now. let's just wait. Mount, let me wait till the end of the day. He said, absolutely. And got us out at, got in at 30 and got out at 70. I mean, it was looking ridiculous. 100% gain. So I was dancing. So I would be like this. Pleasant news. That's not, well, then there's, that, then that'd be a psychological defect that you're not expressive of certain feelings.
I don't know if that's not, I don't really like agree with that.
Go ahead. Smiling, laughing is not. I mean, if a person never smiles, never laughs, profoundly good moment.
Maybe that's like a bad thing. If a guy's like, that's almost like overreact. I mean, I could say a person's like overreactive. You know, guys like for example, like the greatest athletes in the world is, you know, they all have like different methods, but I'm just thinking about professional golf, like.
Right.
There are a lot of, I know, like Tiger, like he gets, you know, like he does get his emotions riled up, but there are world class players who are. A zen frame of mind, never too high, never too low, and you'll never see a reaction to that at all.
No, but okay, fine. Okay.
Just as good.
No, but the truth is, but the point is that dancing is part of, that is a part of, it's a natural expression of simcha.
Okay.
If you're having simcha and you're not not smiling, there's no, the person is completely like a stick. He's sitting there like a log. This is the most best day of my life. There's a problem. There's a problem there. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to be. Now, there is a emotive range to all people. You know what I'm saying? You have five people that are watching a Super Bowl. You have some people who are like, hey, great play. Versus the other guy, if there's a, 83-yard pass into the end zone, they're going, yeah! I mean, you have the Viking fan. The Viking, Viking exuberance fan to the guy who's more mild-mannered. But still, there is a play, there within emotional expression, you know, dancing is an expressive phenomenon. Of that, well, David Melech, I mean, what was he doing? He didn't say, is a dreidel might present to you? The arrow. You know what I mean?
So he was,
So the question is, now here's a question. Well, this is an interesting question. Did he? How much of that? There's a fair question. Is he feeling simcha, or his goal is to show simcha to the people, and they're not going to get it unless he's all out, metal to the pedal. The psukim don't say. What do you think?
It's probably more for the people.
So he's. So you're saying that he didn't? Did he feel good?
Yeah, but I don't know.
So you're saying that his emotive bandwidth was pretty
well within line,
stable, and this super exuberance was an act. It was a demonstrative simcha. It wasn't a real simcha. In other words, it wasn't in concert with the level of his feeling.
I don't really know.
But that's a fair question. Michal wasn't happy with it. His wife, peering through the window. She felt that he made a mistake.
Well, I don't know if he made a mistake, but it didn't seem like a...
Well, is there ever time to dance like crazy? Ever?
Unless someone points a gun to your head, I don't think so.
What?
Well, someone's putting a gun to your
head. Well, now dancing is not the only expression of simcha. I mean, dancing is not the only expression of simcha. I mean, there are, there's not only one. There's not only one mode. Dad, Gary.
I just want to ask a question, just to clarify a point here. So, I guess the question over here is: granted that you're going to feel the simcha, you're reacting. So some people yell out in the glee or clap their hands or, make some type of, have some reaction. The question is, let's suppose a person doesn't care to express it through dancing.
Right.
Does that show some, the extreme situation of happiness? Would that implies or never wants to express it through dancing? Does that imply some inhibition or emotional resistance on his part? Lauren suggested this was a natural reaction. Is that something that, a person is resisting and that's not why they're dancing? And, how does a person, what does a person do to the extent that's their psychological makeup in these situations,
right. So,
and they don't.
So, I don't. I'm saying that. Well, look, this really takes us back to the Rambam Hilchos Deos, that basically a person is supposed to be in the center. You can't be morbidly dead like a funeral director with a, you know, you're getting married and he's like sitting there like a, this is the best day of my life. Look like he's about to intern somebody into the ground. But a person who's like constantly, no matter what, you know, he gets, you know, 50 cents off a, Dunkin' Donuts Frappuccino. He's like, you know, doing cartwheels. That's, you know, that's ridiculous. You know.
I know people like that.
Right.
You know this crowd way too well.
Right. So you have right. So the bottom line is that's obviously not a very centered person. But there's certainly there's a mitzvah to, you know, Keith and Morocco with Nechaz Mikal. There is a mitzvah to be involved in. Two, the mitzvah is not for us to be happy, but the mitzvah is to make the Chasam Kala happy on the day of the wedding. Well, I'll ask the basic question. Why? Aren't they feeling good about it as it is? I mean, they should be, or else it wouldn't be, it's not a good idea for them to get married. If you get married, you're very happy about it. Fine, good luck. Take care.
Because you want other people to be happy for you. It's harder to enjoy it when they're there, you're paying for their presence, basically, and you want, you know, you're doing them a favor by inviting you to their simcha. You should, you know, be appreciative and also show them.
Because are they like paid actors, or
no?
You're dead out of my production called My Wedding. You have a role to play. Be happy. Damn it. You're paying $134 a person. You better eat the food and be happy. And make me happy too.
Okay, I totally understand where you're coming from, and that sound is messed up. But I'm just saying that you want everybody to participate in your happiness.
Correct. I mean, first of all, okay, I'm just giving you a hard time, Danny. But the truth is like that, is that part of feeling a state of simcha is that you want your entire environment to reflect the goodness that you're existing. Or is it, to guys, the chasam to be married. Imagine you got married, like you know, situations have occurred. First, you get married, and none of your friends show up. That'd be very lonely. Even though, say, you had the allotted 10 people to, you had the rabbi and 10 strangers. Okay, yay. So that would be a real lack, right? It would be a lack in your simcha if none of your friends were there. So you want to feel that this is truly a special event, and it would be a decided deficit in the simcha if your environment does not, you know, have that part. I mean, you have to reflect the joy that it is. You have to have food, special beverages, a nice place, music, alcohol, and your close friends. Those are the ingredients of making a special simcha. Reflecting how you feel inside. If those parts are missing, there'll be a lack in your simcha.
And especially if you've gone to other simchas where that was the ambiance and
right.
the room.
Right.
And then when it comes to your own simcha, you know, that makes the person feel really
right.
Really
that's
worse.
And then that's an additional lack is that you don't even get the simcha that everybody else gets. Right. You have a loser simcha.
Yeah.
Correct. So the bottom line is the key of
my ideal, you know, like I guess it's like it depends. Yes, like you know, like I'd rather like play golf and then you know,
like you're gonna get killed. But all right, anyways,
you'd rather play golf than rather go to a wedding.
No,
but are you saying that at your wedding you'd rather have
I was at this wedding with Danny in Florida at the where was that at the
Doral Country Club.
Okay, go ahead. Don't mention any names. Go on.
So you know, it was on a golf course. You know, I was very tempted to play golf.
Yeah, that's not that's not a proof. No, that's not what my point is. If you go, no. I'm not talking about. It's very hard if you don't know the people getting married, or you're like, if you're secondarily or third. Let's say, right. Let's say I was. I have a situation all the time. I go to a wedding where the chas and kala are know my wife. So I'm really like the luggage of the whole situation. I'm being schlepped along. Like, they invited both of us because, you know, when you get married, you get invited as a couple, generally. And therefore, but I don't know, I could not identify the chasam other than that he's wearing a special white flower on his tuxedo. Other than that, I wouldn't know. So I have no emotional connection.
So it's a pure, it's an obligation to create in order for the chassid cult to feel this is a unique, special day. Every person, every guest there has an obligation. Now, depending upon their relationship, are you an inner circle person or a backbencher, to be participate in the
even arm candy.
Right, arm candy. Right, to make the simcha special. You know what I'm saying? No, but the question is really, but why is that an obligation? Let me just go a step higher than that. Why does the halacha make obligate all of us to make them feel great like this? Why is that a mitzvah altogether? Not only that, there's interesting halacha. I mean, there's a machlokes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai about let's say you have a bride who's not that attractive. Does happen. Does happen because beautiful women get married, fairly attractive women get married, and flat out back of the bus ugly women get married too. And the halacha is machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, and I'll just mention the Beis Hillel side. You're allowed to go up to her and look her right in the eye and say, "You look fantastic." And you were just lying. Just your teeth are just falling out because the lie is so powerful. You know, and the dress. You just look fantastic tonight. I just want to say that.
Awesome. Well, that's why my job is so great, because that's what I do. Hair and makeup artist. That's my job.
No, okay, your job is to package as best as can be.
I'm trying to make no matter shape, size, whatever.
Right.
But my job is to make them feel that way.
Right, right.
But no matter what.
And now, but as I walk into the room and during the before the bedekin, or no make some. All right. All right. So if you walk in there, it's important to Beis Hillel, and that's what we postulate. It's a mitzvah to say to the kala that you know. I just want to say, you know, Diana, you look fantastic tonight. Even though in reality you don't think so, or okay, all right. You know what I mean? There's a special mitzvah. Now, part of the mitzvah, because part of the simcha is you telling the kala that on her wedding day that she looks fantastic is a major part. She got to feel like a princess, and everybody got to do their job to make her feel that way. It's a chiyuv. Now, why is that? We'll fast forward to the point. Because what's happening here is not just a party. You are jettisoning out the creation of a new household in the Jewish nation. So that is a vital part of Am Yisrael. And the critical point of the launch party of this household is not a minor event. That's going to add juice and energy for moving forward. That's why it's not just simply a party. Then there's a whole week of where the husband has to make it to rejoice with his wife for at least 7 days. He can't go to work. It's also for him to work.
Really?
Yes. Okay? And he should hang out with friends. That's why they do Sheva Brachas. They used to have, in the time of the Gemara, they used to go away to a resort called the Beit Chatanim. And you wouldn't go by yourself. You go, with your bride and or with your groom. And you have your close friends. You hang out with your friends the whole time. And they call it the Shoshvinim. And they'd hang out with you, and you guys would eat together and hang out and schmooze. And it was like hanging out in the resort for a whole week. You had a whole week off of just enjoyment. Hanging out, eating wonderful food, just your friends.
You think.
Right? Just with the friends.
I think we'll
wait with
that one.
Yeah.
Nice to go, anybody?
Right. So, right? So the bottom line, you do the whole scene for a week. And then, it doesn't end there. There's the idea of the Shana Rishona. We learned about the Shana Rishona, that the husband, again, has an obligation. He cannot just, check out. The fact that he's exempt from military service for an entire year is very significant. So the launch party, which starts up with a wedding and then extends for at least the first year of marriage, is vital, because without a strong bias, you will not have Am Yisrael. So they got to feel they're doing unbelievably important. They got to show the magnitude of the significance of the event.
And also, you don't want anybody to kind of like, making that next commitment is a huge step, and you don't want people making you feel like, oh my God, what did I just do? You want support.
Yes, that's so right. That's very good. That's good.
Happiness is support.
That's good.
Showing,
excellent point.
Showing you
right, the community is now embracing you guys as you are now newest members of the thing. We love you guys.
Yeah, each community is accepting the other person.
Initiation.
Yeah.
Without amazing.
Especially in Judaism, when you're part of a community and a shul, that is like your other family.
Correct. So well said.
When everybody is happy for the other person, then you know that you're accepted and this is a great thing that we're doing here.
Right.
But my parents have experienced, I know one wedding, in fact, that like the parents were arguing, the bride was crying.
I have the best story. I have a story, but I'm going to tell you offline. So sorry, guys.
But I feel like machnish vesnik.
Bottom line is that, so putting it all into one package is that the, so when you come to a wedding, now even now, we haven't expressed another thing, which we can take up next time, is really, now the question is, why is that guy why is that person dancing so crazily, so heartily, so excitedly? Is he doing a David Melech? Is he really appreciating the goodness of the situation? Is he just you know just venting? You know, he had a tough, you know, rough day at the job. Had five scotches, and now we all see these things. But it does result in the job he's getting done. The chassan call are very happy that the guy's like you know dancing on his palms. You know that's working for everybody. You know, what's the motivation? You know what I mean? You know, he's expressing emotion and getting everybody happy. He's not, you know, Mr. Keeping his starch tux shirt buttoned. He's, you know,
letting loose
and spraying everybody with sweat. You know, he's you know, that's it. Full-fledged simcha action going on there. So we have to go. So we have talked about there is definitely an expression of simcha, the proper place, the David HaMelech place. We talked about the different motivations for simcha and expressing and the role of it is in a wedding situation, but there's, you know, I'll call this chapter one. So we'll continue. Okay.